Tuesday, February 13th, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City. We are right here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday. We talk sports. We try to bring you a dose of common sense and maybe just a hint of sarcasm here or there. You know, we are very, very happy to have you with us today. You might not realize it, but today is Fat Tuesday. That's right. It is the day before the beginning of Lent, which for people who maybe out there don't know, if you're like Catholic or Lutheran or Methodist or whatever you might be, it means that during Lent, you are supposed to undergo a period of fasting, cutting things from your life that maybe you struggle with. Might be food, might be drink, might be, I don't know, smoking, whatever it might be. So today is the last day you can do all those things. So today, February 13th, is Fat Tuesday. It is a day for gluttony. That's right. Across the world, a day for gluttony. You know, we actually have a lot of those days here in the United States. Like, I don't know worldwide if you have a lot of days just designated for gluttony, but here in the States, we have a lot of days. Like, you figure New Year's Eve. Like, we don't really do anything on New Year's Eve but drink, eat a lot, you know, pop the champagne at midnight, but it's just kind of a day of gluttony. Super Bowl Sunday. We talked about that last week. Super Bowl Sunday is kind of a day for gluttony. It's turned into kind of a sports-themed Thanksgiving. Well, of course, Thanksgiving. We have Thanksgiving, too. Another day just basically centered around eating. It's kind of what we do here in the States. We got Thanksgiving, got Fat Tuesday, you got just most every other Tuesday. It's just what we do here in America. If you would like to contact us and tell us what it is that you're gorging yourself on today, we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports, and we have been hearing from a number of you. Would love to hear from more of you. Maybe you need some advice. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you have some input for the show, something you would like us to touch on. We would love to hear it. We do have a number of things to get today. I want to talk about Fat Tuesday a little bit later because I want to talk about some fat athletes that we've had in the world of sports. Going to talk about that. We do have a little bit of breaking news that we're going to talk about a little bit. And also, you know, last week we saw college football finish up their 2018 recruiting classes. I know we touched on the top 10 classes in the country, but there are a few other notable programs that I want to discuss today on the show. We will get to all those things here in just a few minutes. You know, I hate to bring this up. I really do. But Valentine's Day is tomorrow. Now, if you are not in a relationship, hey, congrats. You know, good for you. You're safe. Maybe you're lonely. I don't know. But at least you're safe. But if you are in a relationship, yeah, tomorrow might be a rough day. Especially if your significant other is expecting much and you haven't done much. Are you going to go out and pay that $9 for that card and that $75 for those flowers and that $45 for those chocolates? It's what you have to do. You got to go to the dinner. The dinner's going to cost you $200. And that's not counting a present. Those are just the things right up front you have to do. Stacks up. Gets out there pretty quick. Now, I do have a few hints that can help. I'm not saying can eliminate your spending, but I have a few hints that could help you possibly save a few bucks tomorrow if you need that. I can at least throw those out there to you. Like I've said before, here at the Daily Dose, we are in the business of helping people. Hey, I understand it's love. You know, you can't argue with it. You can't fight it. You just have to do what you have to do sometimes, right? Now, these things aren't guaranteed, but they can help you if you're in a serious financial pinch. Maybe kind of maneuver your way through the obstacle course. First off, throw out a little advice for you. I don't care how many times that other person tells you, yeah, we don't really have to do anything for Valentine's Day. Yeah, that's a setup. Don't believe that. That is a huge setup. I don't want anything. We don't have to do anything. Again, huge setup. Don't believe the hype. Get yourself in trouble doing that. So here are a couple tips maybe that'll help you hopefully save a few bucks on Valentine's Day. First one up, and this one's not foolproof. I'll be the first to admit that. It can be a dangerous situation to go this route. But the first one up is this. Today is your last day to break up. Like, break up today and then try to get back together again on Thursday. Again, it's not foolproof. You can get yourself into some hot water doing it, but I'm just throwing it out there. If you can, you might want to think about just kind of starting that fight and breaking up for the day. And then, you know, maybe late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning, you kind of send that text and, hey, just checking in on you, see if you're okay. Just thinking about you a little bit, see how you're doing. And then maybe you can kind of rekindle that whole thing. Maybe you just break up for the day. Not a bad way to go. Another option that you can have is, you know how a lot of times people will save the greeting cards that you get from previous years? I don't know what we're saving them for. I don't know that we really go back and read them, do we? Especially females will save those greeting cards and they'll just kind of have them in that shoebox under the bed somewhere. Old cards that you gave them. Oh, remember when you used to give me this? Remember when you used to actually try? Yeah, I do. I remember a lot of things that used to happen. If we want to talk about things that used to happen, I remember a lot of things that used to happen. Here is my hint to you. You could go get in that box. You could probably find an old Valentine's card that you already gave the person. Just give it to him again. You already wrote in it. If you wrote the date on it, maybe you have to, you know, change the 6 to an 8 or whatever it might be. I'm just saying it might help you, because I'm looking at these greeting cards and they're just going up and up and up in price. The greeting cards aren't getting any better. It's a piece of cardboard folded over with a quote that I didn't say. So why do they keep going up? Greeting cards are getting up to like 7-8 bucks now. It's ridiculous. Used card might be the way to go. Finally, last idea that I have might help you get through your Valentine's Day a little bit cheaper. Just explain to the person you love, you bet all your money on the New England Patriots. Hey, if you're wondering how wide open college basketball is this season, here is a little bit of evidence. On Monday, the Virginia Cavaliers were named the number one team in the country for the first time in 35 years. Cavaliers got 30 of 65 first place votes in Monday's latest poll. They stay just ahead of number two Michigan State. Now, the crazy thing about this is it comes right after Virginia lost at home to Virginia Tech on Saturday. Virginia Tech's not ranked. Here's the problem. Who else could you put on top right now? Michigan State? They have 3 losses and 2 of them are to unranked teams. Villanova? They haven't played that tough of a schedule and they just lost to unranked St. John's. On a quick side note, really good win for St. John's and head coach Chris Mullen. The other teams that are up there toward the top of college basketball right now, Xavier, Cincinnati, Purdue, they have all taken losses lately. And while we can look at the parity and we can say, man, I wish there was like that big dog team that would really generate some interest, that would really bring some excitement to college basketball. I wish there was that really powerful Duke squad or that really powerful Michigan State squad. It's all just kind of close. Anyone can be beaten. And so while we might wish we had that big powerhouse team this year in college hoops, I also look at this situation and say, hey, March Madness is about to be absolutely insane because anyone can be beaten. You know, I'm not sure if we'll see a 16 beat a 1 this year, but I'm telling you, the NCAA tournament is going to be wide open. It always is, but it's going to be especially wide open this year. It might be even more so this year because we are seeing so many young, talented teams in the field this year. And the problem, when you have these young, talented teams, and don't get me wrong, there are some young, very talented teams. Look no further than someone like Duke. Could Duke get knocked out in the first round? Oh, easily. Easily. Could North Carolina? Of course. Could any of these top 10 teams we just talked about? Yes, they could. There are so many young, talented teams, but sometimes experience and maturity will beat young and talented. Players that come in and say, hey, I've been here. I've seen this. I know what the tournament's like. I know how to get myself prepared. We know as a team how to get ourselves prepared to play in this one and done type of tournament. An experienced team like that could run the table, get hot, knock off anyone at any time. College basketball, it's not quite hot yet. It is warming up, and I'm telling you right now, the NCAA tournament is going to be so much fun this year because anyone could get hot and roll through the entire thing. Hey, coming back, like I said, it is Fat Tuesday. It is the last day to gorge yourself. You know, if you believe in that sort of thing. When we come back, we are actually going to take a look at some of the best athletes that really, really seem to like Fat Tuesday. Not sure if you saw this, but former major league pitcher Esteban Loaiza has been jailed and is facing felony drug charges after he was arrested in San Diego last week, according to some online court records. Loaiza is being held on $200,000 bail by the San Diego County Sheriff's Department on three felony charges: suspected possession of heroin and cocaine, possession of over 20 kilograms of heroin and cocaine. What? Now, for those of you in the USA that refuse to learn the silly metric system, that's over 40 pounds. And possession and transportation of those narcotics for sale. That's good stuff from Esteban Loaiza. Really good stuff. Is there a better way for us just to kick off the 2018 baseball season than the phrase Esteban Loaiza, drug lord? Not sure. Seems pretty good to me. Seems like a good way to kick off this year. Looks like he is going to be pitching for the California Penal League any day now. Haven't seen exactly the lineup, but it sure looks like he's going to have a date on the mound here very, very soon. Wow. Outstanding stuff. Didn't even know that he was the guy who knocked, but apparently he is. You know, it kind of gives a whole new meaning to the phrase, you know, I don't know what the deal is, but Loaiza, he really has good stuff tonight.
Hey, you want to get high, man?
Kind of a different thing. You know, speaking of gluttons, there have been a lot of fat guys that were actually pretty good athletes. And I would imagine that some of those fat guys will be celebrating Fat Tuesday today. Now, here's the question that I will pose to you. Who is the greatest fat athlete of all time? It's kind of hard to measure, isn't it? Because it's kind of hard to tell who is really the good athlete, which sport has the best athletes. Like, it's a little bit difficult. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Obviously, if I'm going to start a list of some of the best fat athletes we've ever had, I got to start with the Sultan of SWAT, Babe Ruth. The guy hit 714 home runs. He won the World Series seven different times. Now, I'm not sure he could have posted those numbers had the league been integrated. I doubt it. But that's a pretty solid start. He must have been a decent athlete. You know, there's actually a lot of baseball guys that we could put on our fat athlete list. I mean, think of guys like David Ortiz, who is huge. Tony Gwynn was always heavy, but man, he could just swing it. Could always make contact, it seemed like. David Wells, fat guy. Prince Fielder, fat guy. Cecil Fielder, fat guy. Bartolo Colon, fat guy. I think Fat Tuesday might actually be a national holiday for baseball players. So as we go down our list and we're thinking of some of these athletes that probably really like Fat Tuesday, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and assume that baseball players have a special spot in their heart for Fat Tuesday because it seems like they're celebrating it pretty hard. A lot of fat baseball players out there. You know, there have been a few fat NFL kickers. Guys like Tom Dempsey. Of course, Dempsey had the stump on the one arm and he then had the half a foot on the one foot. But he was also a pretty heavy guy. You think of someone playing in the league right now, Sebastian Janikowski isn't exactly a model of fitness, is he? These guys are basically soccer players. That's basically what they do for their job. They're soccer players, except for, you know, all the running that soccer players do. They just stand there and kick every once in a while. We've seen some pretty heavy golfers, guys like John Daly or guys like Phil Mickelson. You know, my cousin John Daly, he always looks like the before picture of a weight loss commercial. He's got the heater dangling out of his mouth. He's got the Bud Light in one hand. And when you see him, you think he's just out on the links messing around. Like he's at practice. He's just goofing off. No, he's like on the seventh at Augusta or something. That's just how John Daly rolls. That's just how he looks every single day. Not exactly, again, not exactly the model of fitness golfers. But I don't know for sure if you qualify golfing as an actual sport. So that's always kind of hard to tell. You know, you had someone like AJ Foyt, auto racing, who obviously got very, very heavy later in his career. He got so fat he could barely fit in the car by the end of his career. Again, not sure where you put auto racing in sports. Here's another guy that would go on our list of fat guys that were great athletes. What about someone like George Foreman? You know, he wasn't known as a fat guy in his prime, but he definitely packed on some pounds later in life. And you know, it seemed to pay off because big George Foreman became the oldest heavyweight in boxing history. And when you saw him fight, it wasn't like I said, man, he's an older guy, but look how good a shape he looks like he's in. No, that's not what he looked like at all. He looked like this big, giant mountain. And then, of course, we all remember him knocking out Michael Moore in 1994 after being dominated the entire fight for 9 rounds in the 10th round. He did it.
I have to give him all the credit in the world, but again, he's a 45-year-old man in a young man's game. But look at that competitive spirit coming out now.
Straight right hand landing for Foreman. He's had a pretty good round here at number 10.
Again, Atlas didn't counter. Atlas, here we go again with the Atlas. Michael Moore is down.
Down goes Moore on a right hand. An unbelievably close in right hand shot.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
It happened. It happened.
And he did it at nearly 46 years of age. George Foreman's got to go on our list as one of the greatest fat athletes, doesn't he? You know, we could pretty much put any defensive tackle on this list. I mean, you think of guys like Vince Wilfork. We saw him on like Hard Knocks a few years ago, dunking a basketball. Vince Wilfork is huge. William Perry. Remember William the Refrigerator Perry and those Bears? Hey, when your job is to not get run over, you tend to bulk up a little bit. Think of some other guys that have played in the NFL. Remember BJ Raji. Remember Gilbert Brown. Someone like Nate Newton. Some big, big guys anchoring the defensive line. You want to find the fat guys? Go look at the defensive line. Right in the middle. That's usually where you're going to find them. Speaking of football, we've actually had some pretty heavy running backs. What about someone like Craig Ironhead Hayward, who was gigantic? You couldn't bring him down. You saw guys not want to tackle him. They would ankle dive at him. He was just too big. Even someone as popular as Jerome Bettis. Jerome Bettis was the bus. And there was a reason they called him a bus. Because he ran you over. Eddie Lacy. Somehow Eddie Lacy is still in the league, despite having to be put on a weight restriction diet, complete with as many incentives as they could think of to write into his contract. Not sure any of it really helped, but Eddie Lacy's got to be one of the fat guys on our list. You know, I think though, if I was narrowing this down and really trying to find the best fat athlete, I would probably narrow it down to basketball players. I realize there's some other sports that have some bigger, heavier guys, but I would probably go basketball players because at the end of the day, they do have to run up and down the floor. And you think of some of the guys that did get pretty big and were still playing basketball. I mean, we all remember Sean Kemp. Sean Kemp was weighing in over 300 pounds. Shaquille O'Neal. Now, he has the frame to hold it, but I promise you, at his heaviest, I promise you, Shaquille was probably weighing in well over 400 pounds. He is a giant, giant human being. But you know, my vote, if I was going to pick the best fat athlete that I've ever seen, I would probably go with Charles Barkley. People forget just how dominant Charles Barkley was in his prime because we see him now. Like we see him on TNT and he's like a goofy cartoon character. He always has something to say and seems like he's always kind of dogging today's players. And he's always kind of saying, well, that team's not as good as what we were. But you forget how good Charles Barkley really truly was. You just couldn't do anything with him. It wasn't that he was overly skilled. It wasn't that you looked at Charles Barkley and just said, man, he's just such a great ball handler. He just has such great post moves. He's just such a great shooter. He could shoot it, and that did change his game a lot. But basically, he just lowered his head and ran through you and dunked over you. Now, you might hear that and think, well, that's kind of what Shaquille O'Neal did. Yeah, it kind of is. Except for that Chuck was listed at 6'6". That dude is barely 6'4". How does a 6'4", 260, 270 pounder completely dominate the league? I mean, when you think back to the early 90s, 92, 93, when he won the MVP down in Phoenix, Barkley was putting up like 30 points and 12 rebounds every single time he stepped on the floor. How are you doing that in a league full of athletes and for the most part, a league full of skinny guys? Charles Barkley was never the most svelte. But man, he was a heck of an athlete. I don't know if he's the greatest athlete ever for a fat guy. He's pretty darn good. He might be. And I hope that he has a very, very happy Fat Tuesday.
That's terrible.
Hey, coming back, we saw college football programs finishing up their 2018 recruiting classes last week. And we talked a little bit about the top 10 ranked teams. But I want to look at a few other notable teams when we come back and see where some of them ended up. Just a quick reminder, if you've got any shopping to do, you might as well head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. February's Loot Crate theme is called Protect. It features items from Black Panther, Fallout, The Expanse, and Pacific Rim Uprising. But the best part about ordering from Loot Crate is when you check out, just type Daily Dose in the coupon box and we are going to get you 10% off of your order. Maybe you heard those franchises and you say, those aren't anything I'd be interested in. I'm telling you, they have pretty much any franchise you can think of, and they have just about any item you can think of too. Make sure you stop by and check out lootcrate.com. Okay, I do want to talk about a few of the other notable college football recruiting classes that we had, because we have a very, very interesting college football landscape right now. We know who the big dogs are. We know Alabama went out there and had another huge recruiting class. Georgia went out and got another giant recruiting class. Clemson, it seems like every single year. Ohio State, every single year. It seems like they are bringing in the best athletes year after year after year. But I want to take a look at some of the other programs. Some of the other programs that maybe aren't quite as big of a name or maybe have an interesting coaching situation. And I want to see where they finished out in the college football recruiting. And like I said, I don't know how much I can put into these college football recruiting class numbers, how are they ranked and that kind of thing, but it is interesting just to kind of see how some of these teams shaped up. First team up, I want to look at the Michigan Wolverines because Jim Harbaugh created a ton of excitement for the people up in Ann Arbor when he went back to his alma mater a few years ago. But the Wolverines have kind of cooled off lately, and there is even talk that if Harbaugh struggles this next season, he could be in some trouble. Now, I don't believe that because Michigan had a ton of injuries last year. But how did their recruiting class shape up? Well, they came in at number 21 nationally. They were third in the Big Ten behind, of course, Ohio State and Penn State. Now, that can't be sitting well with the fans of Maize and Blue. Like I said, I don't think Harbaugh's in trouble yet. But he does have a tendency to rub people the wrong way. Better go out and win some games this year, or things might start getting a little more iffy. Another team we want to look at. A team that fired their coach because last year the Florida Gators fired alleged shark humper Jim McElwain. And they brought Dan Mullen back to Gainesville. Florida is, of course, sitting in one of the best states in the country for recruiting. But they haven't been pulling big classes under McElwain. They never even logged a top 10 class under Coach Mack. So what did they do with all of the transition and a brand new head coach? Well, they brought in the number 14 recruiting class in the country. It's not bad. Here's the only problem for Florida. When you're getting smoked by Alabama, Georgia, and Auburn, which are all in your conference, yeah, Dan Mullen, you're going to have to coach up your boys. Now, I did hear this. I did hear that Dan Mullen told his group of knuckleheads down in Gainesville they had better prepare for the most demanding offseason of their lives. That should give the Gator faithful some hope because they are usually very, very talented. It's just that usually Florida is horribly, horribly undisciplined. See what Florida does under Dan Mullen. Another team I want to take a look at because we're not quite sure what to expect from new Arizona State head coach Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards hasn't coached in the college game since like the Carter administration, but the Sun Devils managed to have, it's not great, but the number 36 ranked class this year. Like I said, not great. But it ranks them sixth in the Pac-12. That's better than what Arizona State has been doing, isn't it? You couldn't tell me the last time Arizona State had a top recruiting class. Herm Edwards, not great, but better than I thought he'd be. Speaking of Arizona, what about those Arizona Wildcats? Because remember, they fired Rich Rodriguez after he had, well, one extra cheerleader on his sideline. And they went and hired former Texas A&M coach Kevin Sumlin. Sumlin is known as a very, very good recruiter, but not even Kevin Sumlin can fix this mess. Not yet. The Wildcats recruiting class ranked 58th in the country. They were 11th in the Pac-12. Yeah, Kevin Sumlin, good luck. You got a lot of work to do down in Tucson. Take a look at Florida State, because of course, Willie Taggart left South Florida for his dream job, he said, in Oregon, and then he left his dream job for his real dream job in Tallahassee. And Willie Taggart did a pretty good job of recruiting this year. His first season at Florida State, the Seminoles flipped a couple late recruits. They ended up with the number 11 recruiting class in the country. That's just behind Clemson and Miami in the ACC. The only problem for the situation at Florida State, who knows when Taggart is going to leave again? He hasn't stayed anywhere very long, so we'll see what Florida State does with the number 11 class in the country. Now, remember when Tennessee tried to hire Ohio State defensive coordinator Greg Schiano, and then the students, the kids, told the adults they weren't allowed to do that? Remember that? The Vols instead went and hired Alabama defensive coordinator Jeremy Pruitt, and Tennessee, they ended up with the number 20 class in the nation. Not horrible, but it ranks them 8th out of 14 teams in the SEC. So while that's a pretty decent class for Tennessee, you're still well behind within your own conference. They're going to have some work they're going to have to do. And we don't know exactly what we're getting with Jeremy Pruitt. It's not like he has this huge track record. Tennessee will be an interesting team to watch. So how did the defending national champions do this year? No, I'm not talking about Alabama. I'm talking, of course, about Central Florida and their new head coach, Josh Heupel, who takes over at Central Florida for Scott Frost with, I'm sorry to say it, nowhere to go but down. Am I not supposed to notice that? Because I think we all know. You don't have anywhere you can possibly go but down. Are you going to go undefeated and claim a national championship again? Because that really is the best you could possibly do. That's already been done. What did UCF do in recruiting this year? Well, they picked up the 71st best class in the country. That's not great. I know that they still have a pretty good roster, but 71st is not that great for Central Florida. Not sure they're going to get a national championship banner again anytime soon. Speaking of Scott Frost, of course, he left Orlando for his home state of Nebraska. So how did the Cornhuskers do in his first season? Scout.com has Nebraska's class ranked number 22. That's not bad. It's pretty solid. Nebraska has not been getting great classes lately. Well, it's not bad until you realize that that just ranks them fourth in the Big Ten. Who are they behind? Yeah, the usual suspects. Ohio State, Penn State, and even Michigan. We'll see if Scott Frost can turn things around in Lincoln. I'm telling you, I still think that is a much, much tougher job than people think it is. Speaking of a much tougher job than people think it is, Jimbo Fisher left Florida State for what he considered to be greener pastures in College Station. He joins Texas A&M. And at Texas A&M, Jimbo pulled the number 17 class in the country, 6 spots behind Florida State. But what I want to see is, can Texas A&M truly be a consistent power year in, year out? We have seen flashes. We have seen bright spots. We saw Johnny Manziel a year or two where they're kind of good. I don't know that we've ever seen Texas A&M just be great year after year after year, or even very, very good year after year after year. Hasn't happened. I want to see if Texas A&M can get some consistency down there under Jimbo Fisher. Finally, last team I want to look at, I want to take a look at UCLA. Of course, they hired Chip Kelly. He is now the new head coach, and UCLA is hoping to make a run at crosstown rival USC. Year one, Chip Kelly does a pretty good job. He's got the number 18 class in the country. Of course, USC had the number 4 class. And then Oregon had a better class, and Washington had a better class. So Chip Kelly is going to have some serious work to do. Now, I've told you before, I'm not sure how much to believe any of these class rankings. I don't put a ton into it. I still think the bottom line is which coaching staff can take their supposed 2 and 3 stars and coach them up to be 4 or 5 stars. And I'm not sure that this rating system truly accounts for the potential for these kids to improve. That's the bottom line, isn't it? But it is interesting when we start looking forward to next season and college football next year and see how some of these teams just might stack up based on some of the recruits that they have brought in this season. Hey, tomorrow is Wednesday. We have to talk about the latest of course in sports news, but we are also working to track down some of the more interesting Valentines that are getting handed out tomorrow, because like I told you before, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. It won't be easy, but our crack staff will do their best to see what they can uncover. Plus, we will have our weekly Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings. You know You have to tune in for that. I have to say thank you so much for listening to The Daily Dose today on this Tuesday. For all of you that share the show, for all of you that tweet, that share it on Facebook, that tell your friends, that email us, text us, or message us, thank you so much. It is very, very appreciated. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great Tuesday. I will see you all tomorrow.
Steering wheel tappers, the 10 and 2s, Sunday drivers and dislikers of queues, beaded chairs, boombox boots, school runners and dashboard drummers, the singers, the seat adjusters, even the sat-nav addicts.
Take the next left.
At Esso, we notice every detail. Whatever type of driver you are, remember to scan your Tesco club card when you fill up at Esso. Esso. Energy lives here. For more information, visit esso.co.uk.